you're going to hook me up. You're not going to hook me up. You're going to that point, that box, termination of the telephone and the termination of the cable, and you're going from there to the house, underground, in PVC.
And you can put everything, the electric, the cable,
and the... Not all in the same pipe. You can't go in the same pipe. You've got to be separate.
Separate.
I mean, the one taking the power into the house is generally in the area of 2 inches in diameter. But the other one should be 1 inch. Matter of fact, the home builders went so far as they come in and they advised us that there was a way they were doing it, getting the trench made and digging it so that everything goes in the trench at one time. To cut the cost.
Okay. Now you know what we want.
That's kind of where we left off. You're up to speed. We left off and we decided, well, Rebecca is your recording secretary. Brian volunteered to help you put together the presentation to council if you wanted to do a PowerPoint or something like that. We can facilitate that. That's kind of where we left it. And then I guess Brian didn't quite understand what you needed.
That's where the problem I have is I'm water and sewer. I'm not really an electrical and a service guy. And, you know, I'm trying to pump water and treat sewer. We really aren't.
They don't mix necessarily.
Yeah, we this isn't our ballyway, and so I think it's your recommendation. You all are going to need to put together. We think we can dedicate enough resource to.
Didn't we one time have power light come in here?
Yes, we did.
Discussed that.
Yes, we did.
Let them
yeah. So. As a matter of fact, possibly it would help Mr. Benny if you ended up giving him a copy of the proposed ordinance that I had given to people.
I have.
And then let him read that. Maybe he'll have questions, and maybe not. But at least you'll know more than where you are right now.
You know, if we had.
Jack Solberry basically did it between me and Brian. Again, you really can't accomplish much in this 1 hour. It took quite a few hours of Jack's time to put over here. I don't know whether they think that exists.
Well, even then, if you did say that once there's a couple of volunteers, we're going to get together first Thursday of August, they didn't have to go home before. They
Right. Is that something you could possibly meet before the regular meeting?
Or something like that?
This meeting is set at a particular time. Stream on the internet. You conduct business. You got to have a forum. And it's all recorded. You got to do it to sunshine. Subcommittee's not going to make any decisions. They're going to bring back their work.
Well, some of us have been down this road before, and I don't have a lot of interest in retreading that because I haven't been able to see a benefit come to fruition. So, just to lighten this up, just an observation of mine. Daytona Beach Shores has eliminated all their overhead along their municipal A1A stretch. Looks beautiful, you know, but they got the money and they want to be a show place.
Have you been to Flagler Beach? Did it in Flagler Beach?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all that Louis Boulevard, A1A for a couple of streets north and south has all been put underground. They've got streetscaping and all that. It's all either CRA money and grant money. And it's made a huge difference in Flagler Beach.
South Daytona usually have new US 1 going down. They got new.
Both of these have commercial incentives, so both of these areas we're talking about, obviously, you know. I don't know what the people living in individual residences in Daytona Beach Shores, if they've encountered this question or not. Maybe I might try City Hall there and see how such a policy affects them. This is just, you know, A1A condo units, 20 stories high, paying for it, you know. And it looks nice, absolutely. The only thing you have is street lights.
That part of it, because all our new construction is, you know, new areas, commercial areas.
Yeah.
The present subdivisions that are going being put in, they're going underground. What are they doing with the telephone and the cable?
All underground.
All underground. How is it done?
I don't think they're complying with it.
Okay.
Power is always in company.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's FPL won't allow it to go any other way.
But I really don't know.
When you get down to the lower voltage stuff like the video and the telephone, there have been problems, not down, just down here, it's been all over. There's an entirely different outlook on how it gets done. And there are no real codes that they have to follow. I mean, with the electric, there's generally a code and stuff like that. Now, when you come into the city here, if the city had the ordinance that there would be a conduit between the junction point of the service coming on the property and the house, it would hope to eliminate any problems in the future of those lines going there that they can get in replacing them without digging up somebody's lawn, without destroying the sprinkler system, and everything else is going. There's a lot of little things that come into this later on. There's where the advantage is.
Was that part of the original proposal?
Yes, it was. The whole idea, like I said, behind that was before the sprinkler systems or any of that stuff goes in, you get these lines in, and you get them over to their points of connection, and that should be it for the
system. The sprinkler guys will break the cable.
They came out of my house, and all I did is lift the sod up, cut a little trench underneath the sod, put it in, you couldn't even tell they'd been in there. When I had sprinklers, everything in there. They have to go up the side of the house because they run the cables inside the house, you know, from attic. Except for the new houses, they come in under the slab and bring them in, the, you know, where the power is on.
So we have a draft somewhere.
Right.
The Board of Volunteers start working as a group. What if we drag up, work it out? Can't let go home with it.
That's fair.
With that,
that's
make
fair.
Make some comments on it.
Sure.
And if you can think of anything that should be added that might help sell the program on the assumption that it's worth doing. And on the other hand, if you're looking at this thing and any of the members think this is not worth doing, well, write that down and why. So then when we get together, let's drag out our sheets and say, okay, this is what it says, this is what you think on the other, this is what we change, this is why we don't like it, or if we like it, and see what we have. And if no idea to go ahead, or so can we do with that? This particular item.
Okay. You want to get a jump on it, I think the back of the email. So you can be ready to discuss it next time.
Okay. As long as there's something I can download on my computer. Otherwise I'll have to run in here and get a copy.
Well, it's up to you if you want it.
If
you want her to just bring it next month, that's fine too. But you could email it to you.
We'll try. Pharmaceutical disposal.
Just a couple of comments on that subject, if I may. Open the subject here. The minutes of last meeting indicated that I was to connect with this doctor in Vanel. Dr. Kanakaris, and I did go and meet with him briefly, and he indicated at that juncture that he'd be interested in medications which had not been opened, and he said that there would be a list. There's a list that's not drawn up, but that would be the next step in that, if we were to go in that direction. However, law enforcement and the person of Major O'Brien, who seems to be our contact here with the sheriff's office, said you can't tell and prove that a given container has been opened or it hasn't. So that's a problem now. We're trying to recycle or reroute medications, unopened medications to patients who could use them.
I think this was already done to some extent.
What?
People tying in medications to something like that clinic and that they're being used.
If it is, I'm not seeing any evidence that's being done above the table. I can't respond. I can't respond.
Above the table, we can't do it anymore.
Yeah. So that'd be a problem with law enforcement.
So you mean to tell me that law enforcement will come down and start picketing the hospital or the clinic or something before they're using medication?
Well, the hospital, they have their own disposal company, and they dispose of what they don't use. That's all I know about that. At the hospital, I talked to the hospital once some time back now. They have an environmental person there whose part of his responsibility is to dispose of medications.
and it's a similar process that pharmacies use if they were to have that policy as a store policy. They'd receive your medication, and then it's shipped off U.S. mail to the facility that has an incinerator, and they're all licensed to do that. And I don't personally I became aware that they did some incineration at one of the collections, one of the drop-offs, and I'm not sure that's really legal.
Looking back on the cases, say that this thing you had a few months back did collect prescription drugs?
Yeah. And the DEA was present and collected all of the materials and took it with them when they left again. That's neat.
DEA being the sheriff?
No, we're at the federal level now. Department of...
Drug Enforcement.
Thank you. Drug Enforcement. Well...
Drug Enforcement Agency.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. The Drug Enforcement Agency, and that's the federal agency. And they were present.
Okay, I understand what you're
saying. Hmm? So maybe this will help. When it came to the committee originally, it was what do people do with their old medications that they no longer use? Case in point were people that were dying that were on medications. Hospice was coming in, taking all the medications and dropping them right down the toilet. Was, they can't process that.
It goes through the wastewater plant. It does not get removed. So it ends up in the environment. And then you get fish and fish.
So that's another interest of mine in this subject.
I'll have to go back and find out where I got this idea. I read or something last time I brought it up about possibly use of prescription drugs.
Well, not reuse. Okay. Using drugs that were turned in by people who didn't need them anymore. Right.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah.
So you don't think that works?
Not as we speak. I'm not through with the subject yet, but I'm all ears. But
well, let's see what happens.
The prescription drugs that are marked sealed. How does that happen at all?
Right.
Not the over-the-counter stuff. They have the plastic cap on the inside, if you have to peel off.
That's true.
I've never seen any from the doctor.
No.
Go down.
One other point. I have two points. The other point is I talked with Denise Bevan, who was involved in this household hazardous waste drop-off event that we had. And she's receptive to talking about combining the two drop-offs in one location and one time for the citizenry to be able to bring that kind of a category of disposables with them and be set up to handle both. So that's under discussion. So that's worth pointing out right now at this point.
Okay,
so I'll stay on it.
Well,
go ahead.
We're doing this. You're doing this. Do we need any concurrence from the council? Or do we do it?
I'm not aware of any particular.
So what we're doing in this case isn't advising the council. We're just participating in the project to get hazardous waste off the street and drugs out of the house that aren't needed.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Disposal, proper disposal.
The minutes will be aware of what's going on. If they had any problems, say something.
Okay.
Is
So I'll stay with the, that's all I have today.
That's good.
Yep.
No public participation. No new business. And which Adam will give his update to Brian and to us. What kind of tomorrow?
The boss.
He had it, but the computer won't work
now. Okay. thanks for telling me if you want anything different, but this is one, a couple of charts that you guys might see every month.
I forgot the story of 15 so
yeah, yes. This is the daily waste, or the daily water flow since January of 1999. You'll see back in June we each for the year, hopefully, at 11.14 million gallons. Our previous max day was back in 08, but we had one that was a little higher than that.
That peak there? What is that, June 11th?
June 11th.
Oh, that was the White Eagle fire?
We were fighting fires, too, so
right.
A lot of water went out, the hydrants and sprinkler systems.
You don't get paid any money for that.
No. No, we do not get reimbursed for
fire. Public service?
Well, we do have the fire hydrant charge. You remember the fire hydrant charge. It's a annual fee that we charge on a per hydrant basis that's designed to for us to operate and maintain the fire flow capacity of our water distribution. As you guys,
the city pays that to the water company?
Correct. And we bill the county for the hydrants outside the city limits. And until 2008, the county paid those bills. They haven't paid them since. Council will be discussing that again.
I think that ought to be the subject of our next meeting as the advisory committee. How come the city has to pay the water company, but the county?
Council is well aware of it, and it is going to be on their agenda for some discussions. They want to resolve that issue too.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
The county does not agree that it's a valid charge. And like I said, council's already well aware of it. They're going to get, it'll be.
Why do they think it's not a valid charge? Because they're the county and it's our water.
Back when we were private, Tom Coast Utility Corporation and Flagler County had a hydrant agreement. Back then, all hydrants were in the county. The city wasn't incorporated. And there was a per hydrant charge for the water system. And the county paid a per hydrant charge. It probably came out of the Palm Coast Service District. Palm Coast Service District was a special taxing district where us and Palm Coast paid more taxes for the county than the rest of the county. And we got a higher level of service. And one of those levels of service was, one of those level services was the firefighting system, the fire flow system, for which we are taxed additionally. And the county paid that bill to the Palm Coast Utility Corporation. It was in our tariff rates, approved by the Florida Public Service Commission. When ITT, before ITT sold the system to Florida Water, we had initiated a rate case, a request for additional higher rates. And we were in the midst of that rate case. So typically what Florida Public Service Commission will do when we do a rate request, they will
sometimes grant you an interim rate. So they have implemented an interim rate increase, which was less than the utility was requesting. I don't know a whole lot about the rate making business. That's more handled by finance department, but basically that's the way it works. And we were collecting interim rates, and the difference between the tariff rates and the interim rates was being put in escrow, and in case the PSC said didn't approve the rate increase, we would have to refund it. Florida Water bought the system, and the regulatory authority has to approve the sale and the transfer of the system to the new owner. And as part of the settlement with the Public Service Commission and the Flagler County Utility Regulatory Authority, Florida Water had agreed to discontinue the hydrogen. As far as I know, the agreement was never canceled, but Florida Water Services agreed not to charge the hydrogen. Then in 2003, the city bought the utility, and we did a rate study. And we did that rate study after, because you remember very well, when the city bought the utility, they promised the residents that no change in rates for 5 years. So after that 5 years was up, we did a rate study. We also did a bond issue, a revenue bond issue, and borrowed additional money, did the rate study, and said, okay, we're going to have a slight rate increase. Here's what we're going to go with. And, oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and re-implement the hybrid charge and begin billing the county for their share and transferring the funds from general fund to utility fund for the city share, for the part of the hydrants within the city limits. So the utility was getting the money from the general fund, the taxpayers, to fund the firefighting system, and we were billing the county. The county paid for a couple of years, and then when Mr. Coffey got hired, he looked at it and he said, no, I don't think we should pay those. Trying to collect ever since. So now we've got it on the agenda, or it's not on the agenda yet, but City Council has asked for a report. Staff is putting together a report to Council so that Council can figure out where to go with this. There are a number of things they can do. One thing is you can put a line item on the water bill for hydrogen charge.
On whose water bill?
Everybody's. Or you could do maybe, there's a couple things you could do. You could continue to charge the general fund because the hydrants within the city limits and put that line item charge on everybody's bill outside the city.
Now I think you're getting to or, something that we ought to do.
Or the county could implement special fire district for the fire system for the area that's covered by our fire system, and they could have a special taxing district to collect that money from that area to pay us.
Exactly.
The fact is that there's a benefit to everyone, whether they got a water bill or not. When we're over there in the hammock with fire hydrants every 500 feet, everybody gets a benefit. Every property owner gets a benefit from those hydrants. And it comes first in the way of insurance rate, because the county's system is a 5, ISO rating 5, and within the Palm Coast system is an ISO 4. The main reason for that, well, there's a lot of reasons. One is our fire department, but a good portion of that score comes as a result of the fact that we have a fire system in Tondos, and they don't have fire systems in Mondays, for instance. So every property owner does get a benefit from our fire hydrant being out there. The utility gets nothing out of that fire hydrant. It doesn't do us any good. In fact, we've got bigger pumps, bigger pipes, bigger tanks, And all those fire hydrants don't do anything for us relative to collecting revenues from water use. So they're strictly a benefit for the community, and that's why the taxpayers will be paying for that benefit, not the utility payers. So because we can't collect from the county, we need to find some way to collect from the county.
Why do we feel we can't collect from the county? What if you were a business and somebody did that?
Well, I think you get your lawyer on the case.
Well, now you're getting that.
Maybe this is something the advisory council ought to take up as a discussion item and advise.
Well, I understand why you're getting riled up, because I agree 100%. But council is well aware. Council has said the very same thing. Council has directed staff to come back to council with some recommendations. So we are in the process of preparing that recommendation. We should be on the council agenda while we're doing that. And you guys might want to come to that
council. Help what they need or help.
What most people don't realize is that you design a water system for fire flows, not for the residential flows. Because if that were the case, you could put in pipes that were probably half the size.
But really, I think the county's, especially with the school guy, he's the guy that stopped paying us. He's really taking advantage of the city again. And the reason I say that, I really can get up in arms about this. The county used to have nothing but a volunteer fire system throughout most of the county, and just Pinnell and Lagrangine have their own little fire departments. And I don't know whether they're paid or whether they're volunteer, but the county participated in helping pay for volunteer equipment and things like that. Then Tom Coase came along, and they said, okay, Tom Coase, you're going to need more than the volunteer help. So we're going to tax you separately for your fire service. And they did that as a service district, and now as a city, we do this ourselves. But about the year 2005, the county decided that, the county should have more paid companies. They should have paid companies to help in the areas that are more built up, like the Hamptons, like down around Route 40. The developers out there are building some fire stations. So what did the county do? They went out and hired firemen to operate out of those firehouses. And their fire service bill went from something like $1 million to about $5 million in a year. Who paid for those fire? Who paid for that service? Tom Coase was paying for his own fire company. Also, county taxes were paying for the service the county decided to give, And I thought of this when you talked about fire service district. What they should have done is what they did with Palm Coast in the first place. They said, Palm Coast, you're a fire service district, and you're going to pay. They should have done the same thing with the Hammock. You want paid service, you do that, and not put the burden on us. Now, when you tell me that they're not only doing that, but they're making us pay for the county water also, the Palm Coast people, I think that's usury. You should not do it. Okay, anything else?
I've got some more charts.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
Unless you don't want to see mine.
No, listen.
I'm good with that. Forgot what I was saying. Static water levels. They gave you new charts, so as you can see, we're only tracking 3 years now. So this is the current year. Ignore this line because this is the next month's line. Yeah, but this is, we started climbing back a little bit last month. That is the water plant 3 chart. So that's the wells that are at water plant 3 and confined superficial. There's water plant 1 confined superficial wells. And of course, this has all the data going back for 5 years and the 15-year average. Again, a slight increase for July because we started getting some rainfall. But as you can see, may not be the lowest on history, but well below the 15-year average and the lowest in 5 years, which is understandable with the drought conditions we have. And here's the Fordham aquifer, made much more progress in July than the Fine Superficial, obviously, recovering a little bit. Still low. These are the static water levels in the, so you can see, and this is feet below sea level, or below below ground level, or feet above sea level, I'm sorry.
What's feet above sea level?
7 feet above sea level is where the water table is down in the Fordham.
That's the top of the water table?
Top of the water table in the Fordham. And then if you go here, this is confined superficial, it's 17 feet
above sea level
because it's a different aquifer. Ground elevation out there is probably, 30.
Well,
they are. We're down at, the aquifer is down at 60 to 80 feet deep. So you take 30 feet minus 60 to 80, you're, 50 feet below sea level. But they're artesian. So the head on that aquifer brings it up to that level.
So that's still, this is still significant, even though we're getting the water from what? Deeper in the ground.
Yes. And then the other chart you normally get to see, this is the daily water pumping for the last 2 years from the plant. So plant one being the dark blue, plant two being the lighter, and plant three being and the max day for that month. So 8.8 was the highest day of the month of July. And this is the average day of all 3 months.
And so things calm down now that we get a little water.
Yep. Got a little rainfall, makes a big difference. We were really dry back in March. Solid green line is the average day, and the blue line is the max day for the month. And one of the things we've talked about over the last several meetings, the divergence between these two lines is inflow infiltration. Because your sewer flow doesn't go up that much on a max day. What that is inflow infiltration, so the rainfall is better.
You said what each line was, and I didn't get it. So, we're pretty consistent then, anyway.
We have been working very hard at trying to plug the holes in the system. Initiated the smoke test program and going into sections and talking to the smoke test. now we, you know, we still have inflow. These peaks are probably major rainfall events with some inflow. And those will, some of that inflow you'll never stop, because if the street floods, the water's going to run around the manhole and into the sewers. Infiltration is water that comes through pipes that will leak into the pipes under the pressure of groundwater.
Now, if you have problems from feeders that aren't far, like if you picked up Beverly Beach or something like that. If their flow was up because of a lot of inflow,
yeah.
How do we save these things for that, right?
Interesting, yes. Right now, Beverly Beach is not on our system. We have an agreement, a verbal agreement, that, and we're formalizing it into an interlocal for Beverly Beach to hook up to our system. Do that, the county's got to build a new pump station and force main to bring it up to the Hemingway Bridge. And then we're going to build a master pump station and force main from A1A over to our plant until we drive. If they sign the interlocal agreement, we'll move forward with that project. They'll pay their capacity fee for all that sewer they're going to send us. And our intent is to meter the sewer. Normally, most customers, we bill sewer based on their water use. And then there's a max. So if you're a resident and you use 10,000 gallons of water, you only pay for 6,000 or 8,000 gallons of sewer. But if we meter the sewer at Beverly Beach, they'll pay for any increases in water. So we're trying to figure out what really would be an equitable formula, because it's not reasonable for anybody to have to pay for infiltration as long as your system is properly maintained. So they don't maintain the system well, and we take on a lot of infiltration and we pay for it. But if they maintain their system, it's reasonable to expect that in a certain amount of infiltration is built into our rates.
So you could. Certainly arrange for that.
Yeah.
That you do have that.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out a way to
But a way to pick up, so it would be an incentive for them to go and make sure their lines are in good shape.
They have that issue. They actually had that issue at the airport. They had tremendous inflow infiltration at the airport. They didn't realize they had the issue, so they got a couple of huge bills. There's a sewer coming out of the airport.
Good.
What they found was they finally got off their wallet and paid for smoke testing, and they found major clean-out caps that were missing. You know, clean-out caps sit in the bottom of swales and things, and then the water's just running in. And they had to pay for that sewer charge for all that stormwater that's getting into our system.
Any more charts?
That's it.
Did we ever resolve
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
So like the paper, they said, well, maybe we aren't going to pay. Oh. We aren't going to pay the
25%. That was an interesting one, because basically they've been a customer. They've always been a customer. The airport has always been a customer. Got an agreement to go back to Concourse Utility Days. It says Concourse Utility is going to serve them water, and they're going to pay regular retail rate, which they have always done. And somewhere along the line, somebody realized, oh, wait a minute, they're outside the city limits. City's rates require them to pay a 25% premium on top of the regular rate, which they have been doing. Well, when we were talking about service to Beulah, and they were going to become a bulk customer of ours in Beulah, master meter, and then they were going to distribute and resell to the residents down there. We were going to give them the bulk rate. And so I believe it was the county attorney that tried to paraphrase out of that joint settlement agreement the words that said, the city will give the county bulk rate. And he says, the airport's the county that should get bulk rate. Well, the agreement had nothing to do with the county. The agreement was talking about Beulah.
Right.
So it's the name. So the discussion at the council at the commission meeting was, we should get bulk rates at the airport. And he said, no way. And as far as I know, that's the way it is.
As long as we're getting our fair. Any first coming for the group?
Don't let him get away with it.
About the Patina project.
Do what?
I thought you'd have a few minutes about that.
I think we ran out of time. It's on my list.